Ooh.
Get these pants off.
Oh, yeah. Good. Unbutton. That's my move with you guys.
You're going to get those all dressed chips or what? They're going to stay out there?
Crunch, 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 recording.
I want to get them, but I that's why I second guessed the recording.
Dude, go get one of those.
The professionality of
recording. No,
fuck it. I think we're forgiven for going to experience a Canadian chip.
I do have that thing where, like, I go into a rage when I hear people eating. But, yeah, let's go for it.
That's why you don't have headphones on.
I think we should start just, like, instead of, because a lot of podcasts are like, what are you guys drinking? But, like, we can be like, what is this chip taste like?
What is this Canadian Ruffles taste like? May I just dip in?
Yeah, knock yourself out.
Oh, my gosh.
My hands feel dirty. I need to wash my hands.
It's important. You're touching all those dirty VHS tapes.
Oh, my God. That's a good one. It's got like a vinegary taste. It might be like the barbecue kind of vibe.
It's almost like ketchupy, vinegary barbecue sauce.
Mm-hmm. It's a good chip.
Yeah. It was gone for a while, and I saw it again tonight. I had to buy 12 bags.
Murray, you wish you were getting one of these chips.
You're probably getting one of these chips. Come over here. Here. Pretty good, huh?
Murray's got very discerning tastes.
Does he?
He licks the cat's butthole every day.
Nice. He loves them Canadian chips.
Mm-hmm. As good, if not better.
Cool, 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 cool. Are we doing bird sounds? Pika!
I was doing my Strange Brew song. I'm trying to get Murray to attack Josh.
Cool, 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 cool.
Hey, what are these?
Those are...
Beware, dude. Great White North up in your ass. Canadian-y.
Canadian-y.
Take off, eh? You hoser.
Okay, one more, and then we put these fuckers away.
Get professional.
Okay.
They're really nice. I like those.
Welcome to Forever Midnight, a joyful discussion of horror in cinema with your hosts, Jeff Overn, Josh Staples, and Brian Henderson.
Almost midnight. Enough time for one more story. One more story before 12. Just to keep us warm.
All right, welcome to Forever Midnight. I'm Jeff Overn.
I am Brian Henderson.
And this dude is Josh Staples.
What's up, dude?
Chilling, man. We had I feel like we got a lot done today.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. We've been busy. We've been real busy.
And it was just in the evening hours, too. Like, we just cranked, got the sound system and projection set up.
Yes, so we got pretty much a theater going on here.
Yeah,
we
it's nuts.
A projection.
Not for you.
On the, a big projector on the wall. We got, the VHS private, hooked up.
Yeah. Keyword is private theater, Jeff.
I'm skeezy.
I'm trying to get a lineup out the door here.
But thank you so much to Josh and Jeff and those dudes over at Truth Time Theater for sharing the space with us, for putting up this dope theater. And they came in to watch a movie last night, and Jeff and I had fucked it all up, so they couldn't do it. So,
whoops.
We had to step in and sort it out, because that's bad roommate status.
Yeah, but we did. We sorted it out. We got everything we needed.
Yeah.
Got it all hooked up. It's all ready to go.
It's looking great. I mean, it was working great when we used it last. I mean, I don't know what their problem is. No, just kidding. We fucked it up. We yanked a cable out. Whoops. But now that shit is tight. We got the fucking decal on the wall. Oh, my God.
We got a 4-foot large and in charge logo.
It's so beautiful.
I love it. I can see
it's glorious. It's glowing in the dark right now.
It shines. It's a beacon.
Proud
of us. If you're in Santa Rosa sometime, then you want to come by the Scary Movie Research Center, then hit us up.
Yeah.
We probably won't be there.
Come late October, we'll be there for 6 hours a week. Ish. Probably longer than that, but limited hours, but it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. We'll pop up shop, and we got all kinds of fun goodies to sell.
We got many crazy things.
All of our own pins and patches. We got pins and patches from other folks.
T-shirts from other folks. Our own T-shirts.
Other oddities and other strange things.
I like saying oddities and entities.
Oh. nerd alert.
Spooky. But if you can't make it to Santa Rosa, we definitely have stuff online at forevermidnight.net. So go there and check out our shop. We got all kinds of good stuff. Yeah. Help support the cast.
Absolutely. Please do that. We got great stuff, great shirts, new pins all the time, new stuff all the time. Yeah.
If you want a discount, type in Poltergeist at the checkout, too, and you get hooked up with a little bit of
a hookup.
How's your father?
And that's forevermidnight.net to check out our shit. Our sponsors today and every day are Gore Noir Magazine out of Austin, Texas. They are killer. We say it, if you've listened to our podcast before, you've heard us talk about it. They're fucking awesome. Please check them out. Subscribe to their magazine. Get them before they sell out because they're always selling out. They have so many killer issues. They got another new Coffin issue coming out very soon. Did you say it was in
Lovecraft?
H.P. Lovecraft issue, yeah. That's coming up. You can check them out at gorenoirmagazine.bigcartel.com or at gorenoirmag on Instagram.
And we're also brought to you by punkstuff.com.
That's right. Punkstuff is a killer t-shirt company that we ran into at various conventions. We blew all our money every time we saw their booth. And eventually we had to swing a deal because we were going broke.
I felt sorry for us.
Yeah, it was like, dude, come on. No, they're awesome. They're pretty much out of the same area we're from. They're from the Bay Area. Punkstuff.com is how to check out all their shirts. They got so many killer horror shirts, so many great punk shirts.
Rad sweatshirts and stuff too. And they're always coming out with brand new graphics.
They got pins and patches, all kinds of cool stuff. Once again, punkstuff.com to check out what they have to offer.
Yeah. If you want a discount from those folks, then hit 10 off at the discount code for 10% off.
That's right. And one callback if you want 10% off of Gore Noir Magazine. Jeff, do the backwards dance.
We need to make a GIF of that.
Yeah, we need to make an animated GIF of that. If you want a discount from Gore Noir Magazine, type in Midnight at checkout for 10% off.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
All right.
All right.
Guys, we're rolling on with our Night Shift series.
That's right.
And today we're going to be talking about The Mangler.
We're going in order of how the stories are in the book.
Right.
And so Jerusalem's Lot, like you may have noticed last time, we skipped it. There's no movie of it. Of course, there's Salem's Lot, but that's not the same thing. We went directly into Graveyard Shift,
right,
which sucked poop. And then we this time, we're starting to get into short film territory because have we talked about the Dollar Baby thing at all? Have we talked about this?
No.
So Dollar Baby, we did a little bit with James B. Cox.
Oh, we did.
Who was a director that we spoke with at the Silver Screen Festival. And the way the Dollar Baby thing works, that when Stephen King first came out with these, with this first collection of stories, it was the 70s, 80s, the potential of the short story format to be full-length feature films and even, and actually more often than not, student films was huge. And people were like, well, I'd love to do this story, a Stephen King story, as a student film. Stephen King says, you pay me a dollar and you can make it into a feature film for your student film. And as long as it's not commercially making a bunch of money, then it's what he called dollar babies.
Yeah.
So as long as you gave him a copy and you paid him a dollar, you could use a Stephen King short story as the subject of your student film. And that actually became he's still doing it today. If you go to the Stephen King official website, he's still offering. There's a list of films that have not been optioned for motion pictures. And those are available for a dollar to make a student film out of. He wants a copy of it. The dollar baby term came because he calls them his dollar babies, and they're on the videotapes are on his shelf.
Man, that's amazing. That's amazing. Really, really generous of him.
So people are still doing this. One story we're going to skip here that's one of the best stories in the book, Night Shift, is where the cover comes from, where our pin comes from, where this whole idea comes from, is a story called I Am the Doorway. And there's a guy in the Czech Republic named Robin who is making a 20-minute short film of I Am the Doorway. And he's going farther above and beyond than what most people have done for these dollar baby films. Yeah. He's in the Czech Republic. The story is about an astronaut that travels to space, gets some sort of crazy space virus, comes back to Earth, and he's got eyes start growing all over his body. So you recognize that hand from the Night Shift cover. Robin's in the middle of making this, finishing up the short film, and it is, from all I can tell, the website is better than most short films in the world. It's incredible. You can check out his progress at iamthedoorway.com. We've gotten in touch with him. We sent him one of our Night Shift pins. He's very excited that we made the pin of that. He had no idea. Like, this all happened after, of course, we had made the pin. He said he's going to use it as a good luck charm to finish to wrap up the film. I wish it was done because it looks so good. He's shot it twice, and he's doing it from a total POV shot of the astronaut. Right. Well, and he shot it once in regular, like, you know, widescreen format, and he shot it a second time to be projected on a like a astronomy dome, like a muse, like, you know, like a what do you
kind of like
it?
Almost like IMAX, but the kind of
like IMAX,
version,
but
yeah.
Even crazier because instead of it being just a wraparound, it is completely, you know, a semi-sphere.
So you're right. It's that thing where you go and you lay
the planetarium
down.
Planetarium style, right. So he shot it to be projected in the planetarium. Yeah.
That's
going to be crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's going to be amazing when it comes out. I cannot wait to see it. IamTheDoorway.com is how you can check his progress out.
And we'll review it when it comes out.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll definitely do a little throwback for sure.
Pretty much dying too. So unfortunately, it's not done at the time of this broadcast, and it is one of the earlier stories in the sequence. So we're just going to skip it for now.
Right.
We're going to get back to it when it's out.
Right.
And do a proper review of it. But
it's okay. We're going to talk about Night Surf. I know you're wondering.
Brian can't wait to talk about Night Surf.
Is that the next one or?
Right. It's the next one.
I think
it
might be.
Night Surf. Okay. You want to talk a little Night Surf?
I can just go flush the toilet a couple times.
three times, I think.
So there are three versions of Night Surf that we were able to check out. And I only checked out two,
but I was checked out like halfway through both of them.
I checked out 5 minutes into two.
Yeah, I watched like half of one through some pad Thai noodles.
It's definitely my least favorite story out of the bunch.
It's pretty bad.
It's not a great story to begin with.
Well, these
and it makes
stories,
it even worse short film.
The short story format sometimes doesn't lend itself to a feature film, obviously.
Sure.
Like that should not have been, I think a lot of people will choose short stories like this because it is just an easy thing. Get some actors. You're on the beach.
Yeah.
Right. It's super. Yeah. That's what we were talking about. It's very limited for what you have to do.
Yeah.
So it's easy.
So it's an easy scenario. You can do it. You can say this story is written by Stephen King. You can do a short film of it. There's no special effects necessary.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just like a little vignette of like a, there is an interesting thing about Night Surf, and there's only one.
What's that?
The story Night Surf, it's about these kids on a beach who are like the survivors of this worldwide virus that's killed everybody called Captain Trips. The only interesting thing about Night Surf is that it was the inspiration for The Stand, because the disease in The Stand is called Captain Trips. It's the same type of thing.
They call it Captain Trips in the written story?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Huh.
In the Night Surf?
Yeah, they call it Captain Trips. I must have been skimming hard. Sorry.
So that is the only interesting thing
about
the story.
That's a good piece of trivia. Yeah, that's interesting. But that doesn't really translate into these short films in the slightest.
Exactly. It's the impetus for The Stand, which is an epic book.
Right.
I mean, the original version is epic. The unedited version is super epic. And even, I'll dare to say that the television miniseries is pretty epic.
How long is that thing? 6 hours?
It's days long.
Yeah.
It's got Molly Ringwald in it. It's got Max Headroom in it.
Wow.
It's got all kinds
I never
of
saw, yeah, I never
Gary
saw
Sinise. Oh, you didn't see it?
I never saw
it. Man, there's tons of people in it.
Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald, Gary Sinise.
Star-studded.
It's 90s, right?
Big time.
Full 90s, yeah.
It is the worst of the 90s.
I feel like with a story like Night Surf, because it hasn't been optioned for like a feature length movie besides maybe this whole Stand connection, that should be a good like reason not to make a short film of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of these, I think, that you're like, you look at the available stories, you're like, oh, I could see that not being optioned.
Oh, no wonder. No one ever made that.
Yeah. Out of all the dozens and dozens of Stephen King adaptations, if it hasn't been done yet, maybe it wasn't meant to be done, because there's some that have been done that weren't meant to have been done that we'll get to within this series. But Night Shift is one of those that, of course, it's been sold as a Dollar Baby film a number of times. I watched two versions of it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the two short versions.
The shortest ones?
The 15-minute one and the 15-minute one, not the 20-minute one. I was like, I'm not going to watch 20 more minutes, because I watched them back to back.
I started with the 20-minute one, but I don't think I got all the way through.
Well, first of all, I watched the English one. I watched an English one and an American one.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The English one's good.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the English
so
one.
That story's so bad. Like, how do you
the
make
story
it?
Is just uneventful.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, I think of a Stephen King story and it has all these components. And I feel like that story has none of those components.
Right.
At all.
It's about these kids on a beach. One of the girls is in love with a guy. The guy's like, I don't care.
He's just an asshole. He's just a prick. Yeah, so
it's hard, yeah, it's hard to get behind this guy, the guy's motivation.
Because you're reading as him in the story, yeah. You know. And the movies, you know, kind of shows everybody. But, yeah, I was just like, damn, dude, you're – this is – first of all, it's supposed to be like post-apocalyptic.
I was just about to get to this. Yeah, and universally, that everyone has nice, clean clothes.
Oh, that
sharply dressed. Just you know,
yeah,
fresh off the wreck.
But you're like, you know, you're lucky enough to be one of the last survivors on Earth or whatever, and you have a girl, and you're like gonna treat her like a pile of shit. Like,
that
you could be humping a log, dude. You know? Like, come on.
Yeah, you're lucky that there's any female left.
Yeah, that will give you the time of day, much less.
One that's remotely kind of your age.
Right, right.
Yeah.
These are all like teenagers, you know?
So weird.
The English one was good. And I wish I had it up in front of me. I really should have done more research.
I mean, the two that I watched felt pretty much exactly the same. And just in their shitty execution and boring to watch.
You know, it does get tiresome to watch. For me, if I'm watching if there's a book and a movie or something,
yeah.
I don't want to do both. Like, I've done both before. I saw Slaughterhouse-Five, the movie. It licks. Mm-hmm. I saw Breakfast of Champions, the movie. It fucking licks. This is exclusively Kurt Vonnegut so far. These movies fucking lick. Like, why would you want to, like, as a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy fan, watch Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? It's such a bad fucking movie. Right. Such a bad movie.
Yeah.
And they try. And it actually isn't such a bad movie. It's just you cannot capture
compared to the book.
Yeah,
you cannot capture that, like the breadth of a novel, even a short novel, in a 2-hour movie.
Yeah, there's certain movies I just won't bother watching because I'm such a fan of the book. Why bother? I mean, it's all there in the book. I don't need to see it.
Once I got convinced that I should read the Harry Potter books, and I was like, I don't know if I want to. Aren't they for kids? And my mom's like, no, they're for everybody. I love them. So I'm like, okay, mom. So I read the first Harry Potter book. And it was cool. It was fun. It's for kids, by the way. And I read it, and it was fine, and it was interesting. But I'm like, okay, it was a good story. And then she's like, well, you got to go see the movie. The movie's coming out this month. I was like, okay. And so I went to see the movie. And I was like, I just read this. I just heard this story. I know how it's going to end. It's fresh in my mind.
Right.
All I can really notice are the things they left out and the things they skimped on. That's all is happening.
Right.
And I'm like, I didn't picture it that way, and now it's that way, and it looks dumb.
And then if you're do it the other way, where you just see the movies and then you read the book, all you can do is picture the movie while you're reading it.
All you can picture is Daniel Radcliffe.
Why'd they put that in there? Why didn't they put this in?
He's blonde. Yeah. No way. Daniel Radcliffe's got dark hair.
I know what Daniel Radcliffe looks like. You got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly. So it's I'd like to do one or the other. Like, I'm not gonna read the Hunger Games books, but I will watch the Hunger Games movies.
Sure.
People are like, you didn't read the book? I'm like, no, man. I watched the movie.
Yeah, I got the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I just... Yeah.
Is Philip Seymour Hoffman in the book? No? Well, then I'm watching the movie.
I don't think those would be good books anyways. Or, I mean, even the movies are just whatever.
Yeah, I've decided that when it comes to that kind of thing, like for instance, Maze Runner.
Right.
I loved Maze Runner. I loved the Maze Runner movies. I watched both of them back to back.
I seen the first one.
Delighted.
Really?
I loved it. But those books are for fucking 11-year-olds. I'm not going to read those books.
I haven't seen those or the Hunger Games. I just don't care.
Hunger Games is fine, but it's it kind of reminds me of like a mix of like Running Man and like, you know, it's boring from a lot of
it's
shit.
It's such a weird thing because you're like...
And Battle Royale.
Yeah, you hear so much about... And plus, it's not only post-apocalyptic. It's like 1,000 years in the future. You have no idea. It's not really. They don't tell you when, but it's like everyone's names are all weird and everything's totally. People are archers, but there's high technology. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it is a weird like universe.
Yeah, it's not Middle Earth. But it's not fully the future. But once again, it's for teenagers. So I'm reading it or I'm watching the movie, going like, this is the phenomenon everyone's fucking freaking out about. This is what it is. It's a girl running around shooting explosive arrows at stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty cool.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's entertainment. I'm sure it does its job, right?
Yeah. Divergent? I watched those movies.
Oh, I haven't seen those yet.
If you like Hunger Games, you'll love them shit.
Did you watch the Twilight movies too?
No,
I mean, you're going down the list.
I want to see those sparkly vampires. I don't think any of these movies are written by hardcore Mormons who really wanted to fuck but couldn't. And that's what Twilight's all about.
That's what Twilight's all about?
Twilight was written by a Mormon lady, really wants to fuck
a
sparkly vampire or a werewolf, doesn't matter. Some kind of sensitive, sparkly guy or some fucking teenage beast.
Jesus Christ.
You got the two hands.
What, is that not your fantasy too?
I want both at the same time.
Teenage beast?
Do they ever do it at the same time?
A glowing, glittery teenage beast?
Yeah.
Of a boy?
Tell me more, Brian.
So I've not actually watched a Twilight movie, although maybe we should. They're vampires.
I've watched a couple of them. Yeah. I admit it. Fine.
Fine.
Take me to jail.
I quit. Bye.
You're one of those.
Yeah. My wife made me. I'll throw her under the bus. She's rolling her eyes back.
You can blame your kid for everything.
He's never awake. Watch movies.
Yeah, but no one knows that. We don't know that.
He loves Twilight. He loves Harry Potter. He actually probably would love both of those movies.
You would probably love
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You kidding?
Josh Drake loves Harry Potter.
Dude, throw him under the bus, Josh.
Josh Drake, there you go. Bloom, bloom. That's you under the bus. What do you think about that, you fruity magician? Nothing but love for Josh Drake, although I think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that he came late to the Harry Potter game. And he is deep in it still. Like, you came late, and you're in it long past its expiration date.
You have
date.
A wand?
Oh, yeah. Dude, ding. How... Jeff, you might be able to answer this.
Oh, yeah. No, we have on the wall at work, he bought the book cover to some book that was in the movie.
I did see that.
Something about muggles or some bullshit.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's deep into it.
He's deep in it.
Yeah.
He's eyes deep. In Harry Potter land.
We went to this, there was like a, we heard about this like Harry Potter store in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Dill hasn't really seen those, but we're like, it might be cool for him to check out. We were kind of killing some time. It was by the tar pits and stuff. And we were going to check out the tar pits. So we're like, yeah, we'll go check out this Harry Potter store. And you walk in and it's like city streets, like those streets in the movie and shit. Like there's all these different stores and buildings and it looks fucking crazy. Like I love... like fake facaded out, like, you know, places like that, stores and everything that have like this total crazy build outs. And it, like, every little room was like it's a separate shop that had all these different areas. It was fucking cool. And you go in the back and they have like an area for like you can rent for birthday parties that look like the fucking huge banquet hall from the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it was pretty fucking legit. And,
Hogwarts.
And I'm not even that into Harry Potter. I was just like, this is fucking cool. I wish people would do that shit for fucking horror movies, you know, like just building out fucking.
I would just love to go underground to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 set.
Oh, dude. That would be so cool.
Endless tunnels.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. You get chased by fucking people right around the halls.
Yes. Let's build it here.
Speaking of, we're going to go see that tomorrow night again. The cult movie series is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Jason Lives and Texas Chainsaw 2.
That's a great one because it's like the funny sequels.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, first of all, we've talked about Jason Lives a lot. Jason Lives is like the first truly supernatural Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
Part 6. Directed by Tom McLaughlin, who we love, who we've interviewed in the past. And Tobe Hooper did Texas Chainsaw 2. To me, that is, I've always thought of him as parallel. Like, in my mind, sometimes there are things that are absolutely parallel. The Cure's Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, and Print, Sign of the Times, 1987, very parallel.
Preach on.
Two double albums all over the map. For me, they're like, and they came out at the same time, crazy albums that are like the same. To me, it's like, Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2 are one thing. Texas Chainsaw 1 and Texas Chainsaw 2 are this like a parallel.
Sure.
Like they're both this movies are very serious and groundbreaking at first, very stark and crazy.
Yeah.
And like no one's ever done anything like it. And then 2 is like a hilarious ramped up version of that same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
even more over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Both so good.
With humor, with bigger stars, all that kind of stuff. And funny.
Like, there's tons of funny shit in there.
Like Texas Chainsaw 1, not funny.
No.
Evil Dead, not funny.
And laugh once in Texas Chainsaw
exactly.
1.
There's not
no way.
No laughs. Not the feel-good hit of the summer of 73. But fucking, yeah, man, the Evil Dead 2 and Texas Chainsaw 2 are hilarious.
Yeah. I'm so excited to go see those tomorrow night because we were kind of contemplating. We just did a private showing. We talked about this before for my birthday.
Yeah, that was great.
Texas Chainsaw 2. But this is going to be on fucking the Theater 12 fucking screen.
Which is the really nice screen in our theater.
Huge.
The biggest one. Yeah. Best sound.
Yeah, as dope as the Summerfield cinemas are to see that movie in, Like, seeing it on Theater 12 is going to be insanity.
I cannot wait. I'm so excited. The sheriff from Jason Lives is doing a Q&A.
What?
Yeah. Neil's homies with him. He just told me that the other day.
That guy's awesome.
He's going to Skype in.
Oh, right. He is Skyping in.
He gets bent the fucking half.
Yeah.
In that movie. So, I wonder how did he recover from that? Did he really get bent in half?
I think he just has like a half a wheelchair thing he set up.
Yeah, I mean, this is the price you pay for being in the best Friday the 13th movie.
Well, you haven't seen Scary Movie 2. It's David Cross, like, in the wheelchair. S in his own D. Hello.
We gotta do that Scary Movie episode.
Yeah, fuck yeah. I wanna do a Scary Movie 2.
Where were we? What were we talking about?
Night Surf? So good. Two thumbs up.
So good. Not so good.
It's just a horrible story. So then you just, because I was like, why did Stephen King write this? Like,
well, you got to keep in mind that these are all like in the 70s. Like, these are his first attempts at writing like stories and
cocaine's
publishing.
A hell of a drug, Brian.
He's just such like the character, and I'm like, you know, it's one of those things, you know, when the author writes something, even though it's a character, you automatically think, like, this is coming from him.
Yeah.
This is how he feels.
Yeah,
you right. know?
Man, are you
so
a bad
like,
dude?
You are a horrible man to women.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
like when the last one on Earth and you still don't want to fuck her?
And you're like, and not only that you don't want to fuck her, but you basically are calling her, like, you fat cow.
Right.
You're ugly.
Which I never saw a fat cow in any of these short films. They were all very attractive.
No.
Right. That's what you were talking about. Like, yeah, like, we're
like, really? You're not interested in her?
The casting
really?
Call is like, looking for fat cows. I'm like, oh, no fat cows. Only super fine ladies.
Okay.
Only super fine 28-year-olds playing 16-year-olds.
Perfect. And they're all clean.
All very, so clean. So fresh, so clean.
You can't have a post-apocalyptic movie with everybody
look a little bit haggard, right?
You've been through some shit. I don't care how many days it's been. If it's one day after, you've been through some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And these guys have supposedly been kind of kicking it for a while.
Oh, the whole world has died except them?
Yeah. And there's no food and stuff? Like, come on. You've been out there for a while, and they're, like, wearing, like, white pants that are, like, completely clean. And
yeah.
I'm like,
got their skinny jeans on, and it's no holes anywhere.
Who the hell dress these people for this movie?
Hell wears white pants in the post-apocalypse?
You throw a fucking Speedo on and call it a day.
Yeah, seriously. You are just eyes blinking out of soot. That's all you are.
Yeah. At least get all like Mad Maxed out, you know? Like,
yeah, dude.
Grab some gear, get some knives.
Some little snaggle teeth necklace.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking...
Wear like one like football shoulder pad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Have a mohawk that's diagonal.
Fuck it. Well, yeah. You know, who cares at this point? There's no mirrors in like the future, right? Post-apocalypse?
No, the mirrors
like,
are...
That's the first thing to
the
go.
Mirrors are the first to go, yeah.
They melt as soon as...
Right. Yeah,
less
I heard
than, like,
that.
Half
I've heard
the
about that.
Yeah. For sure. There's like this weekend... I'm spacing what the name of it is right now, but basically like... Everyone goes out in the kind of the desert down south.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Burning Man, but it's Mad Max style. So they got a fucking Thunderdome. Everyone's fucking dressed like fucking that style. They have all the vehicles and shit.
50% of the people die.
But it looks fucking awesome.
Everyone like, gets heat stroke, right?
Probably. Probably lots of them do. But like Selena and Ryan from A Little Shop of Gore, like they went and they're all fucking dressed up with like fur and like just doing it up.
Dude,
it looks so sick.
Dude, if you're in the
dude.
Desert in the heat, the last thing you want to wear is a fur.
Right. Well, and that's what all those movies, it's so funny because they're all wearing like fur boots and like, you know, all that shit. But I don't know. I'm not really Burning Man, whatever, like, but I love Mad Max and I would fucking
love to. Oh man,
that
sounds pretty
like,
cool. Yeah.
You know, just
we can just dress up like that for recording.
I think it'd be fun
an episode.
To dress
just
up
record.
Like,
no one could see us. But
bring your post-apocalyptic gear one night. And just fucking.
Hey, brought my cod piece. I brought my evening soot.
Like a half of a football helmet.
Exactly.
Yeah. Some other shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I got like the best eye makeup on ever, and that's pretty much it. A human skull where my dick is.
Oh my god. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. I would.
Did you? I mean, I've never read Night Surf until just recently.
I read it when I was a teenager, and I read it again sometime in between there and now, and I read it like a couple months ago.
I read it like a year ago or so. And I remember just being like, this sucks.
It's like six pages?
I hope they never make this into a short film, and then my buddies make me watch three of them.
It would really blow. I read it. I mean, a lot of these stories, I mean, you take what you can get. Like, there's going to be some amazing stories in there.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some that still haven't been made in the films that are amazing. And then there's going to be some that you can't help but to picture the film, you know? Like Maximum Overdrive. I read Trucks again, and I was like, well, all I picture is Emilio Estevez. And,
right. Exactly, right? You know? You see the film first, and that's all
but
that happens.
Some of these stories, the act of reading the short story is interesting because you're not invested in a novel. You're going through it, and you're like, oh, you get through the end of it. You're like, well, I didn't like that one very much.
Well, that's the thing.
I already started the next one, so who cares?
Right, because you actually like ghost. But like, it's like what, like 7-8 pages long? Night Surf.
It's a short one. Yeah.
Really? It felt so long.
I spread that thing over like 3 days, straight up, dude. And I was like, I gotta take a shit. I guess I'll read like 3 pages of this fucking. And I couldn't handle it. I'd be like, have to like skip to some other story or like look at something else.
I've read a number of these Stephen King stories because I might have mentioned that I did definitely read all of Night Shift as soon as we made the pin, and I was just inspired by the artwork. And then I moved on to Everything's Eventual, which is like a 2009, maybe a 2005. No, sorry, this is a 90s anthology. Totally a 90s anthology, like 95. And it's another 15 stories that are
okay.
Some of them were made into film, some of them weren't. There was Room 1408, which was that John Cusack,
right.
Sam Jackson movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which scared the living shit out of me in the theater. That's a story in this thing. And a bunch of them are. And then I finished that, and I was like, all right, well, cool. What's next? I'm back in Skeleton Crew right now. I'm like halfway through Skeleton Crew.
Nice.
I'm tearing through it. So I'm used to this process of going through stories. I'm like, what the fuck was that? Oh, well, I'm on to the next one.
You can kind of dump it pretty quick. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, it doesn't hurt you as much as if you just read like a fucking 300-page novel or something.
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding? I just sat through that whole thing?
Yeah.
My life is gone. Yeah.
And there's been one or two Stephen King books I've read all the way through and been like, what?
Well, I feel like...
Thick novels?
One of them, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it because his writing is very enjoyable. But at the end of this, I think it was Insomnia. I read Insomnia. I got to the end. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Huh.
That was fucking stupid.
I want to read the JFK one that he put out.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly recently.
It's pretty new.
Yeah. I'm curious.
They made a miniseries out of that, too, Hulu, I think.
That, too.
Also curious to read that kind of sort of sequel to The Shining.
The Shining?
Oh,
The
Shining? Dr. Sleep?
Dr. Sleep.
Oh, yeah. is that what that is?
Yeah.
It's Danny grown up.
Torrance, yeah,
no
grown up.
Shit.
Yeah.
I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Right? But the thing is, I'm a fan of the Stanley Kubrick Shining more than I am of the Stephen King Shining.
Sure. And that's the hard part, to like overlook that.
Yeah. Because I'm
overlook.
I'm,
I like what you did there.
Oh, wow. It only took me 237 tries. What the fuck? Like, it's, yeah, you can't not think of that. I mean,
I don't think I could disassociate the two. You know,
there's no way. I don't think anybody can anymore.
I recently saw something.
Unless you've never seen the Kubrick movie.
Yeah, that's nuts, though. I recently saw a picture from the Stephen King version of The Shining, like a still of the woman in the tub from the television version.
Right.
Have you guys seen that?
Yes.
No,
television
really?
Shining?
Yes.
I haven't seen it either, but I saw the picture of the woman in the tub, and I nearly, my butthole dropped out.
Yeah.
It scared the shit out of me.
But that's it.
Look that up.
That's it, though.
That's it, though, right?
Yeah, rest of it is.
When you see this, Brian,
that's like the fucking, the money shot. Is that?
Yeah. Like, of course, the woman in the tub in the Kubrick version is mortifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something about this woman in the tub in the television version. She's much younger,
mm-hmm.
and she never at any point is desirable. She's just fucking scary.
Huh. She is scary, but the rest is just,
and maybe
so,
it's just the
so goofy.
Maybe the still
casting is so
thing.
Fucking bad.
Oh, it's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's really scary.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
And I do now, I remember seeing that shit too, but I never saw the movie, but I remember seeing this image.
It's bad.
Oh, that guy from Wings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
And there's just a lot of like.
You can't do that.
Shitty CGI Yoda flip fucking.
Oh, know, really?
Yeah. Like the. There's like some Edward Scissorhand type bushes that kind of come to life. And
is that from that too?
I think so.
That's kind of scary.
I think there's like a fire hose that comes to life too, or something stupid. There's like just a bunch of fucking bullshit. It really sucks.
Right.
And you're gonna compare it. You cannot not compare it to, you know.
Right.
The Kubrick Shining. Yeah. And so when they fucking nailed it so hard with that one, you're going to watch this and it's just a whole other flavor, you know.
Why did you even make? Why bother?
Because Stephen King wasn't happy with
his
interpretation.
Oh, that's what
they're
happened.
Very different than the book is. Like,
okay,
one's kind of hot, one's kind of cold.
Sure.
You know,
So he wanted to do his own.
Yeah.
He said, the world's greatest filmmaker didn't do a good job with my story. It might be one of the best films ever made, but I'm not into it.
Yeah.
So he ruined my story.
He made like, one that's truer to the book.
Okay.
So and he, made for TV.
Oh, made for the fucking garbage can. It sucks.
Made for the trash can.
Fuck that. But like he, I don't know. It's always, it trips me out like when stuff like that happens. Like, did he make it for TV because that's the only way it could have happened? Or I mean, that guy's got money.
I think
money.
So. I think easily it was easy to kind of expand the story, make it a little longer, and so get all the depth, or if you want to say that, I don't know. It's a week.
Yeah,
it's a week.
Deep shit.
It's shitty. It's directed by Mick Garris.
Okay.
Who, if you're familiar with Mick Garris, he doesn't make great films. He seems like a killer dude.
Yeah,
he's like, he's cool. Like hooked in, man. He knows fucking everybody. What, he's an awesome dude. He's a big fan, but man, his movies like, aren't good.
He's done stuff though. That is like
he's done a lot of Stephen King
adaptations. Big fan of the man, not big fan of the filmmaker.
Yeah, fortunately not. Sorry, Mick Garris, if you're listening.
He did like Fly 2, Hocus Pocus.
Oh, he did the Fly 2. You love the Fly 2.
Mick Garris did the Fly 2.
He wrote Fly 2.
Yeah, when we're talking about directing,
sure.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, because he didn't direct that. Special effects guy directed that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Chevy McGillicuddy.
Chevy McGillicuddy directed the Fly 2.
That's a fun one, Fly 2. I like it so much better than Night Surf.
I like the Fly 2.
The Fly 2 rules.
I saw the Fly 2 next to the Fly, 1987.
Yeah.
And it was rough.
Oh, you can't, shit. Did he do The Stand? He might have directed The Stand for...
Mick Garris?
Chevy McGillicuddy?
McGillicuddy. And Critters 2? Oh,
yeah,
man.
That's all, yeah,
oh,
Critters
buddy.
Too. We like Critters 2.
Do we?
Don't we?
I like the cover to Critters 2.
He did Hocus Pocus. Or he wrote Hocus Pocus, it looks like.
I think...
Brocus Jocus.
So I watched that with my kid the other day. It's pretty fun.
Hocus Pocus.
Oh, man. I tried watching Riding the Bullet and turn it off. Yeah, okay.
Riding the Bullet is another Stephen King story from the book I just read.
Right.
Yeah.
You like the story?
I liked it.
Don't watch the movie.
The story was interesting because it was in that Everything's Eventual, the most recent... No, not the most recent, but a few collections ago. And it was Stephen King's first internet-only novel.
Mm.
And people kind of cared more about that than they cared about the actual content of the novel because it sold a ton. Like, you just sold the shit out of it on people's Kindles and stuff.
It exists nowhere physically.
Yeah.
So buy it.
So buy, everyone bought it. Buy nothing.
What the fuck?
And everyone bought nothing. No, I mean, it's not nothing. It is. There are words there.
Yeah.
If you can read it.
What's it called?
Writing the Bullet.
Writing the Bullet, okay.
And it's the last story in Everything's Eventual, which is a great collection.
I've seen that book, or at least the name, and I always thought it was some fucking Silver Bullet shit.
Silver Bullet, too.
Yeah. Electric Bullet, Lou. Ride the Bullet.
So, yeah, Night Surf, not the biggest fan of the story because it is just sparse. It's like a moment in time. Sure, it's a fine story. Who's to say if this... That's the thing. I can't judge a story. His writing is always good. His style is great. So
sure,
like
yeah.
It. And it's a good, young Stephen King.
Yeah.
It was in some dirty mag in the 70s.
See, and now that makes more sense, actually, to be writing it from that point of view because, of, you know... Yeah, that makes sense.
But it's a lazy choice to make a short film from.
Oh, very.
Because
we could go out right now and make that movie.
Yeah.
Especially because the one that we watched, they
We could make it better because we'd be all Mad Maxed out.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Diagonal mohawk.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Skull. Yeah. Skull dick. Skull dick.
But it was almost like word for word from the short story. And you can't do that because it just doesn't translate.
You got to mix it up,
But also, then they would like chintz out where the dude who they like are going to burn to death. In the story, he's in a car, and they take him out of the car.
Yeah.
And then the one we watch, he like just falls on the beach because obviously they just could just stay on the beach.
They couldn't afford a car.
I'm like, who doesn't have a fucking car?
Well, the one I saw, the English one had a car.
And the 20-minute one had a car.
Yeah. Did it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, a couple of them, two of the three short films that we didn't all watch together at all. But the English one, which was the best of the two I saw, had a car. And it was well done. Like, the main guy wasn't so interesting, the main actor. But the kind of the thuggish, ruggish bone was interesting.
Fair enough.
And the girls were cool. And, I mean, everyone's English, so I just liked it more.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was an English one. I'd rather watch that one.
Yeah, that was the winner.
I could definitely listen to anybody like with an English accent even if it's shit.
It's a little more enchanting.
20 minutes?
It?
Yeah, for 20 minutes?
Well, yeah, that's easy.
That guy's a dreamboat.
Yeah, oh, let's talk. Close my eyes. I watched the first English one first, and then I watched the American one second. I was like, you fucking dorks.
You
Everyone's
Yankee
a dork.
Bastards.
You cannot act your way out of a wet paper bag. Yeah. But then maybe the English guys were blowing it too. It's that enchanting language.
Yeah. Mm. It's Australians and English folks. I'll S the D off of your fucking just accent alone. I don't care.
I want to S your accents, D.
Seriously. Sorry. I'm dreaming now.
Well, nothing. I wasn't S-ing any D's.
Let's get to the good movie of the two.
Yeah. Next in line of these three, that one doesn't exist, one exists too much. And the third one, the one that does exist in the real world, did come out in a theater, is a major motion picture, was The Mangler.
Right.
Did you guys read the story?
Yes.
Yes.
So the story is ridiculous.
Yes.
It's a stupid story.
Horrible story.
Once again, Stephen King. Is he listening to this? Is he going to be bummed? No. Stephen King's the best-selling author of all time.
Right.
But he wrote The Mangler, and that's a stupid fucking story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's... I mean,
you know, this Night Shift thing seemed like a good idea at first. And then so far, we've
so
seen
far,
nothing but
it's dog shit city USA. Yeah.
But
the worst stories, the worst fucking movies that accompany
them. The Mangler short story is pretty fucking bad, but the movie is not much better.
The movie is rough. And yeah. I watched it 1.5 times today.
Didn't you feel like almost a sequel to Graveyard Shift and.
Absolutely.
Just another factory.
Sweaty,
sweaty similar, yeah. So similar.
Soaked in water for some reason. Yeah, big old scary machine. Yeah. It's just, it felt like the same idea. It's like, oh, let me just try this version now.
Well, where Graveyard Shift was like entirely pink because it didn't have that like red light cast.
Yeah.
The Mangler was almost blue entirely.
Right.
It's all that night.
It totally did blue.
Fully blue, yeah. Here's the thing about Night Shift, though. Like... Not Night Shift, sorry. This is the thing about The Mangler, though. When I was watching it, I was like, this is fucking dumb. This is stupid. And, of course, like, if you're one of those people that have, like, crunching hand phobias, like, people are like, God. I don't like things happening to people's hands in movies.
Yeah.
This is that movie where it's all about getting your hands chomped to bits.
Well, yeah. It is. Like, it's – when my stepdad was in the Navy, and mm-hmm. we used to go onto the aircraft carriers they had. And there's all this heavy machinery. And next to those machines, there's these pictures of what will happen if you, like, leave your wedding ring on and it gets fucking caught in the machinery
and
stuff.
Fucking
degloved.
Degloved.
So there's just, like, photos of, like, the fucking – you know, they have, like, four regular fingers and then, like, a degloved fucking shocker finger that's just a fucking skeleton. Fucking just straight
up. Yeah,
bone finger.
Yeah. Straight up. And it was, like, so fucking – like, I mean, I was, you know, a young kid and I was, like – blown away how scared it made me, and I would just think about that all the time, like how that must feel, and like what would they do, you know, like they
yeah no band-aid you know? In the world's gonna put right. that back together.
You just got a bone finger, dude.
Yeah,
I would like almost want him to like cauterize it and just run that bone finger like straight up, just be like, yep,
it doesn't move. I can't there's no muscles on
it. Oh, it's
it.
Definitely not moving, but
yeah,
it looked cool. It looked
I like
cool
just
shit,
like
dude.
Like, yeah, that's a bone. Yeah, that's a bone.
That fucking
that's what
rider.
It looks like now. Yeah. At least I still got my finger, kind
check
of.
It out.
Can hang all kinds of shit on that. But it was
scratch
it was
your back.
So yeah, seriously,
toothpick.
But it was so scary to see like, and that was the first time I realized like, oh shit, dude, like machinery is fucking scary, you know?
Yeah. And that's what this story is about at all. Like,
machinery
if anything,
is scary.
Machinery is going to eat your fingers off.
Yeah.
And so the first few scenes are so – like this is like within 15 minutes at one job, one woman gets her fucking hand chopped and mm-hmm. then another old lady gets sucked into this fucking machine. And she was begging for it.
Yeah, she
There's
was.
There's no way she didn't want to get in the – she was right. like – she was searching for aspirins. She was
– I know, right? Like you couldn't just go and be like, anybody else got an aspirin?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'll just grab these out
you
of
find
the
out,
Mangler.
You find out that 75% of the way through the movie that she had a full bottle in her purse
right.
later.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So
oh, my God.
She dropped four aspirins onto a conveyor belt of a giant Mangler. It's called the fucking Mangler.
They know it as the Mangler. Everyone calls it the Mangler.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's like, ooh, I'm going to get those aspirins. They're rolling on the conveyor belt. And she's like, ah. Trying to grab him, bitch! You are asking to get eaten by the mandrill.
Turn around and go grab the shit out of your
it's
purse.
It's aspirin.
They're gone. They're gone, bitch.
Yeah.
Let go.
They're gone. Anyway, she dies. She dies in a horrible way. That poor old woman.
Dude, you know? Like that when they – when so she gets fucking folded through the fucking thing and when the dude Buffalo Bill comes and fucking checks her out. Because I was like, it's fucking Buffalo Bill from fucking Silence
of the Lambs. Right. Ted Levine is in this movie. This movie is insane. First of all, let's back up a second.
The cast is crazy.
This fucking movie is insane. Yeah. It's got Ted Levine from Silence of the Lambs, Buffalo Bill, as the main character. Robert Englund is insane in this movie.
He is so.
And there's not a bit of him that's not done up.
It's so done up. And he's just like, you thought Freddy Krueger is cranked up? Like, he's.
Dude,
fucking crank.
He makes Freddy Krueger look like just a mild-mannered dude. Because he's like, he has got, not only has got leg braces all the way up to his dingus on both legs. Yep. He's got a three-piece suit on. He's got a patch over one eye. He's covering an icy cold blue eye.
Right.
He's got
old
man makeup on. Scars on his neck. He's got
weird
a throat fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, and then he's got the fucking crutches.
Right. And also an accent that just floats around and changes every
and the
fucking scene.
Crazy prosthetics where like it looks like he at some point had been slightly mangled.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because that's what happened, right?
Right,
like, that's why he's all fucking chapped.
That's what happened to his legs and stuff.
So he runs this laundromat.
He's just chewing up the scenery every chance he can get.
Surprise, surprise.
So I'm watching this movie at first and I'm like, okay, that's over the top. Toby Hooper, what the fuck is happening?
It's
like... this movie is insane, and as I'm watching it, I'm like, "Oh God, we're in for another graveyard shift. Is this going to be graveyard shift again?"
Yes,
I'm so bummed. But it flipped for me at some point. At some point, I was like, "At some point, I learned to love it. I loved it. By the end of the movie, I loved it. I was like, this is I love it."
Ted Levine should not be any kind of front man or leading man in a movie.
He's
a Buffalo Bill. Like I know that that's stereotyping him, but like he talks like that for reals. Like how he talks. He sounds like that fucking dude.
He talks like fucking Christian Slater just did a bunch of fucking nitrous hits.
He's got a mouthful of marbles.
His fucking voice. I could not duplicate his voice if I tried.
But he's like, he talks like he's got his mouth like this the whole time.
Like, dude, what are you doing?
As soon as he came on and I was like, well, you're wearing – he had a toupee, right? That was a toupee?
I think it's just the way his hair is.
Oh, it was horrible. Fucking horrible.
I'm so glad we got over dressing detectives in big, like, long coats.
Oh, my God.
That whole sloppy look. That's the worst.
Yeah.
The worst look. And detective in every 90s movie dresses that way. Thank God we're over that shit. I hate looking at
it. Gumshoe.
The gumshoe. Big trench coat.
Goofy.
Shoulder pads.
So he should not be a leading man, right?
Not a leading man. His character is not a leading man either.
No,
his character sucks. Like, I couldn't exactly tell what was happening. There's so much happening in the first scene. Like, you got the foreman of the job, who I liked quite a bit. But he's like – it starts off with like you get to see you're at this industrial laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
There's a foreman who's dressed like – I couldn't tell if it was 1920 or 1995.
Didn't the dude look pretty similar to Homie from Graveyard Shift too, like his outfit?
Yeah.
Totally. Sweaty.
Right? Well, yeah, sweaty, but like it's the same like kind of like vest on or like he just had the same look.
But he was straight up like, you – speed up. We got the hospital laundry coming an hour. You, I'm talking to you.
Right.
Work your ass off is pretty much what he's saying. Work your ass off, kill yourself for me is what he should have been saying.
Sure.
Because that's exactly what the undertone is. But that's those scenes like coming down from the different levels of the factory I thought were really cool.
Oh, no, there's some good shots.
Yeah, definitely some
great
nice
shots in it. And then when it finally comes up and the Mangler titles come up, it's like the worst font you could have ever chosen.
Yeah.
It was like Dean Martin's Latin album font.
Oh,
it's
pretty
looking.
Much everything people hate about 90s horror movies. This is the epitome of that shit.
This poster is pretty fucking rad though. It's just a hand sticking into some gears. Look at that.
It's pretty much what the movie's about.
Right.
It's about getting your hands crunched by gears because everyone in the movie gets their hands or body crunched by the gears.
Yeah.
But so it starts off with. You got these fucking goons carrying a refrigerator out.
Yeah, an ice box.
An ice box.
Yeah.
It's just an ice box.
Just an ice box.
carrying an icebox.
Unplugged. No electricity anywhere inside.
And these are these like the two stoniest like white Cheech and Chong. Just like carrying this thing through this factory. They bump into a girl who cuts her hand. The lightning shoots out of the fucking machine.
Yeah, why? What? Why?
No one thought that was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
Was it static electricity? They were just scooting their feet along the ground on the carpet?
And I watched it and I'm like, what is the purpose of this? Like, what is the purpose of these guys? Is this going to mean anything later?
Right.
And then these guys are – it cuts to the guys driving the icebox and they're driving – they're delivering the icebox somewhere. They're doing just fine. And Ted Levine, the Buffalo Bill character, is driving like a fucking insane person in a residential neighborhood. Right. He's peeling out, racing.
He just left his house too. It wasn't like he was like gearing up and like getting speed. He's like – peeling out of his house.
The ultimate crotchety. He's like, he's on 11. He's like, he sees the postal guy. The guy comes. He's like, here's your fucking mail. He's like, yeah, nice. Have a nice day. Whatever. Bullshit. Garbage. Like, Jesus, relax, dude. It's 9 in the morning.
Right.
Holy shit.
And so, and he goes tearing us out of his neighborhood. And then
which is like all like one way streets. It looked like they were so thin.
Yeah.
And these guys are like, are trying to deliver this thing and they're idiots, of course. But then he nearly like T-bones a fucking truck and he starts picking a fight with these guys.
Yeah.
And they're totally calm. They're like, the guy in the driver's seat goes, are you looking for trouble, buddy? And he goes, it's officer buddy to you. You're like, oh, so you're a fucking unwieldy maniac cop and you're the main character.
Well, yeah. I mean, in the story though, that fucking icebox is like an
anecdote.
Exactly.
So the icebox is like, oh, it's like what if a kid crawls an icebox and it's the icebox is demonic somehow because it kills animals and
it killed a kid. Spooky icebox.
But this actually had the icebox had a ghost shooting out of it at one point in this movie. It was insane. And when the fucking ghosts were shooting out of the icebox, another like 30, 40 minutes into the movie, I was laughing out loud. I'm like, this is stupid. This is so stupid. Because they were going on forever.
Yeah, it was like so long. And I thought the funny part, this is like, we're kind of skipping over, but like that photographer dude.
With the best part of the movie.
Oh my God. Well, he's awesome. But he's fully prosthetics.
Yeah.
But he's scary as shit.
He's the scariest. He's scarier than scarier than the Mangler, scarier than everything
fucking
else in here.
Ditch all the other bullshit.
But tell
Let's watch a movie about that guy.
So he's taking photos at all these inopportune moments and like taking photos of Buffalo Bill when he's, you know,
in crime scenes
hanging out.
I guess
that's
what he's supposed to
be. Dead bodies and shit.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he's like in the morgue hanging out with bodies and like he somehow sneaks in enough that he takes a photo.
He lives under the
morgue. Yeah, what's up with that?
This character.
Ghoulies.
The whole time that character was around, I was like, he must be a figment of the detective's imagination.
Sure.
Because
I like that.
Because he just happens to show up everywhere.
He shows up everywhere. He's got a 1910 camera with flashbulbs that he ditches every single shot. And he obviously has a relationship with
has
the
a
guy.
History with yeah.
Yeah, and there's but a strangeness about him too in the way he's speaking.
Yeah. And he's always talking. Yeah. Always. And he's like and he's very needy.
More moments than just like a crime scene. He's like taking pictures of people in weird situations.
And a lot of that particular dude just like fucking
and
off.
Exactly.
But I thought it was funny when that fucking ghost scene happens, ghosts are fucking erupting out of that thing like fucking Old Faithful.
Old refrigerator.
But he doesn't take a picture of that.
No.
He waited the whole time for all the ghosts to be gone and then he's like,
take a picture of the guy who's like he's like, I just saw a bunch of ghosts. You'd have a fridge.
Yeah, you're not going to take a picture of that?
What? But the thing about that, too, is that they never explain the relationship. Everyone's got this old man makeup on, and you expect it to be like, okay, when they do a flashback, I was waiting for a flashback won't have the old man makeup on.
Yeah.
They'll reveal why they're even – what the relationship is.
Like vaguely implied some connection between his wife dying and that guy.
I'm like, is he?
But I didn't
dad?
Quite follow that. And they played chess together after that. What?
Yeah, they didn't really like.
I understand.
They drank some fucking alcohol in the basement sometime.
And how did he get hooked up with this weird little apartment in the fucking basement below the morgue?
Ghoul status
doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense.
No, it's fantastical. I don't know.
Sometimes
it's strange.
In a story like this too, like we watched Ghost Story the movie, and then the novel Ghost Story by Peter Straub, they had these characters that pop up in the movie. And they're so weird and disjointed in the movie. It's like the homeless guy and a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're popping up in Ghost Story all the time. And you're like, what? That doesn't really make any sense. It must be that in the story, they had a larger part and there's more explained.
Mm-hmm.
We just read The Mangler. None of these characters exist anywhere else in the story. So
no, you can do whatever you want. And they did nothing with them.
Yeah, they did nothing with all these characters.
Is it me or like in the 90s, did they not hire old people and they just would throw makeup on everybody? Right?
Ageist.
Like I feel like nowadays like they hire like people like their own age that, okay, we need somebody who's 65. We'll hire somebody who's in their 60s.
Right.
But then they're just like, we'll fucking throw a bunch of makeup on this dude. And
yeah.
And it was weird, right?
Dude, that guy was grotesque.
Oh, he was so scary.
I liked it. I liked him so much. No, he
was probably my favorite part of the entire movie.
I'll tell you what my favorite part of the whole movie was. There was one character that was, I think, the best character, hands fucking down.
I'm listening.
The Mortician.
The Mortician?
The Mortician.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty awesome.
He was hands down. I watched his part 3 times. The Mortician is downstairs right before the guy comes down, and he's talking to the – because the kid gets caught in the fridge, and that's when you realize the fridge is evil. And it was only evil because it bumped into the mangler.
It got like a juicy lightning bolt sucked into it.
I was confused. I thought that lightning bolt from the icebox to the mangler brought that thing to life, but it was the other way around?
I think it's the other way around. Yeah. Because the mangler –
the blood from her – it made the mangler go crazy, and then it shot off into the fucking
I'm glad they made this really clear.
Because the mangler's been evil since the dawn of time.
Right. Yeah, but I didn't know that at that point. Yeah.
Right.
They explain that later, but okay. Okay,
but, so there, sure, but sure, great.
Typical machinery.
So the obviously. It's oh, really? A machine killed somebody, and it keeps – it's a dangerous machine that eats fingers? It must be the demons. It must be possessed. Dude, I'm not even – we haven't gotten to the fucking character
barely even scratched.
His brother-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Was that the connection with
the English guy?
Love that guy.
Oh, my God.
He came on the scene. I was like, this is 90s as you could fucking get.
He was insane. He's like a parapsychologist. Like what?
Like a weird hippie.
Theoretical physicist. English hippie.
Yeah, he was like everything.
Barbecue maniac.
Yeah, that dude. You don't seem that hungry. Well, I got a 4-inch tall steak, and I just looked at a pile of woman in a folder.
I know, right? Like you're gonna. Why would you ever? Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't like there was a pile of steak and a potato. It was like a pile of steak and a slice of tomato. Like, what are you doing? That's not a meal.
That's not a meal,
dude.
That dude is. When he first showed up, I started laughing because I was like.
Dude, when he first showed up and started talking to the guy, I was like, oh, so this woman has a huge beard. That's what this is. Like, his love interest has a huge beard.
I was just like, there's no way in hell those guys would ever be friends. I don't care if that's his sister's brother's or her husband, whatever.
Yeah, it took forever to spell that out.
That took, I mean, days.
Yeah, I didn't quite follow their relationship.
You're like, there's no way. It's totally improbable.
And that's that same thing. He's just like a character to give you information, right? You know, like,
need somebody to like when know.
You never see any people in real life who have this much information about demons,
specifically
and
about
else.
Demon machinery.
Yeah,
everything. I used to work in. Oh,
I just so happen to have a book. Let me go.
I did work at industrial laundry when I was going graduate school in Berkeley, man. Yeah. Hey, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. They call it the mangler, right, man? Hey, yeah. That guy's such an idiot.
Yeah.
I was furious. Yeah. And his brother-in-law hates him. He's like, scene where
but
he's
somehow
like,
he continues to entertain his wild theories, even though he's like, this is bullshit.
This is bullshit. The outside world.
And like,
bullshit.
That poor girl. Are you a virgin? Like, saying shit to her, like, so inappropriately.
Oh, my
like,
God.
You're like, what are you doing bringing this
That guy's
around?
Like,
well, yeah, why is
he's
he
He's like
there?
The worst person
there?
To have in a situation.
Yeah.
Because he's a theoretical physicist, but at the same time, he's only talking about demonic possession, and he's running around, like, stay in the car, and he's like, and then his head pops up. Oh, like, dude, get out of here!
With the little kid and stuff.
Yeah, the kid,
like,
in the fridge.
It's a fucking crime scene, dude.
Like poor kid,
doing?
Get out of here, dude. This movie is so crazy. Like, it was so much. Like, when Robert Englund delivers his first line, that's like, I was ready to like turn the movie off and just like throw my computer in the garbage can.
Yeah.
I was like, really, dude? Toby Hooper, really? You wrote the screenplay, and your first big line for Robert Englund is to deliver is, life's a bitch, then you die.
Right.
Is this whole thing based on 80s t-shirts?
And there's no – and an old man wouldn't say that line.
No.
An 80s t-shirt would say that line.
Yeah.
That old ass man wouldn't fucking say that.
Robert Englund would say that line. Yeah. I think he remade that shit up.
He probably did.
I think he was off the cuff in a lot of this stuff.
He was probably just coming off of killing off Freddy.
Yeah.
And so it was like, what's his next thing going to be?
Was this
Freddy and another thing?
Was this the first thing he did that wasn't Freddy?
Probably pretty close after.
95?
Yeah, I think
So he was just so happy to be like, I'm going to do this other character.
Yeah, whatever. Which is Freddy Krueger just with leg braces.
Right.
There was a couple times.
But he would like
– But with a kind of an English accent half the time.
Weird.
Half the time.
Yeah, wasn't,
not
wasn't,
the whole time.
It wasn't a full-time accent for
they
sure.
They never quite hammered down what that character is supposed to be. And I think just like, oh, we got Robert England. We'll just let him do his thing. Fuck it. Yeah, right. He's fine.
Yeah.
Another case like Graveyard Shift, which is a director just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, just
you make your own choice. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, do that thing. Do the Afrikaans accent, old guy. Yeah, what is that? But Robert England, like, it was so over the top, so nuts. There was times where he would just, like, put his crutches down.
Yeah.
I was like, that is Freddy Krueger. He looks exactly – like, you forget how much Robert England is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah,
like,
and he did that Freddy laugh that we know so well, too. Like, I heard that a couple times. There's a lot of Freddy's. Mm-hmm. I know it's hard because
that's all
Robert England brought to the character. So, But you would think since you've been playing Freddy Krueger for 10 plus years, you'd want to switch it up and show what else you can do.
Right.
Right?
I think a lot of Freddy is just his personality.
I don't think he's like one of those people where, like, you're that dude. That's why it's so good. Because it's you.
When it's not you, and they have Freddy Krueger that's not you, it sucks real bad.
Yeah,
sure does. And is a waste of time.
Right.
When he would toss the crutches and then, like, crank his little leg braces and, like,
like start walking. Sexy time with his niece?
Tell me it didn't remind you guys slightly of Nothing But Trouble. There was, like, a weird Nothing But Trouble vibe to that character and the whole, like, creepiness. But, like, way creepier.
Dick Nose style?
Yeah.
Real creepy.
Yeah, there's a funny scene towards the end where he gets rid of the crutches and he's like bending over to do something and his legs are completely straight. He has this crazy stance going.
Well, this like
it's wild.
Like he's straight up. What's the I'm looking for? He's doing the splits practically. Yeah, he looks like fucking Jerry
Lee
Lewis.
It's fucking hilarious.
Those silent films where the guy's like sliding around doing weird
stuff. Toby Hooper wanted to make a comedy. Is that what's going on?
I don't know.
I think he did.
I don't know what
was
going on.
I think he was slightly like, let's make it. Let's just be funny. Let's have fun.
Because there's like
Ted Levine's hilarious. Let's hire him.
Yeah. He's a barrel of laughs. This movie became so crazy. Like when they started doing the demonic possession thing, and they go to exorcise the fucking demons out of the mangler, and this dude is so focused on Belladonna. And the that whole thing, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, he did mention
about?
That a fuck ton, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I remember him saying that too much.
Being that was in the aspirin, the thing that they...
Yeah.
I got lost, man. I was checked out
It's
at
a little
point.
More... In the short story, it's a little more, like, simplified, but it's still fucking
place. It's been a minute since I read the story. They didn't have any of this bullshit about the mangler being around forever and like you making some kind of deal with it.
No.
Well, it's only like it's been around since I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
It's an old machine, but it's not this whole thing where it's this whole drawn out thing where this whole town is losing
the people in power made
all the rich people
with the devil
give up their
machine.
Ring finger and kill their 16-year-old
daughter.
It gives
you the shocker. The mangler just gives you the shocker.
Totally.
And you shock,
like,
you shock the world. They should have called this the shocker.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice that. That's really horrible.
That's exactly what happened. So that's the deal. You give them your finger.
And your daughter.
And then you get power. You get money.
You sell your soul to the mangler.
Sell your soul to the mangler, the shocker.
Yeah. But then you constantly have to kill everybody.
For some reason, you have to feed it on occasion.
I think that only happened because it got
it's a virgin. You have to a virgin too, right?
Tasted the virgin blood by accident. There was an accident, and that instigated it all. Where like normally those people were feeding their kids into it periodically.
Yeah,
but like this accident sparked the thing to like get really crazy with the combination of those pills that had the belladonna in it or whatever the fuck.
Oh, really? The pills?
And the, I don't know.
Like it was the
Kool-Aid
really
on it, like some root beer
pills,
like whatever.
It's like Mentos and the soda pop.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, it's alive!
But when it gets because the mangler, it's a laundry folder. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You put a sheet in it,
which is horrifying to think about someone getting folded up like that.
Yeah, and it just folds. It folds a number of people.
I was bummed that it only showed though the old lady. That was so fucking shocking.
It showed the old lady, and then it showed the young lady too, the niece when she got folded.
Yeah,
it
showed a little bit more gore at the end.
And then it showed
Robert England
got
folded.
Fucking folded.
Yeah.
This is a folder. It folds sheets. A thing that big. Seriously, you have a fucking 100 women working in a factory. You tell me that two of those women can't just fold a sheet?
Way quicker. You know how long it takes to fold one sheet through the mangler?
Yeah, you see it's like, gonk.
Yeah.
And then robot hands are like,
It's like the most convoluted machine, too, and it's huge.
Like, it takes up a whole factory.
Are those sheets as big as a fucking car? Like,
yeah, what you know, kind of bed are you making, man?
Yeah, like, what? Each fucking thing is like 20 feet long.
It's such a stupid thing. The thing about the movie was, too, like, I started really, like, the character, the English guy with long hair, with the mullet, was, like, so bad. Everything about him was so stupid.
Yeah, he sucked.
And he was so annoying.
The English, the
brother-in-law.
Jackson or whatever.
And Ted Levine's voice is so stupid sounding. Everything he says is so dumb. But there were a couple lines in there I really liked. When they asked the supervisor, he's like, hey, he shows up on the scene where the old lady got eaten. He goes, can you show me what happened? And the guy's like, do I have to?
Yeah. I can't do
it. He's like, I can't. It makes me sick. I can't look anymore. He's like, yeah, it's at the end. I can't look again.
This is the scene where he barfs everywhere and contaminates the crime scene and people are already cleaning up before he even shows up.
Like,
wait, what are you doing?
He barfs on the ground.
This is a crime scene.
Yeah.
Like he's...
You're getting rid of evidence, you motherfuckers.
Professional cop.
The ambulance guys carry out the fucking bloody basket and there's blood just pouring out of the bottom of this laundry basket and there's blood dripping out of the back of the ambulance. Dudes. That's a bad look.
That is
ambulance with blood pouring out of the back of it is a bad look.
Biohazard.
It is straight biohazard. I've worked in a hospital, dude. You wouldn't get fucking a foot if something was dripping like that.
And just because virgin blood gets in the fridge and in the thing, doesn't that mean the ambulance is now fucking haunted?
Sure. Right?
Anything electrical that gets virgin blood in it apparently is haunted.
You're all fucked. Everyone's fucked.
And that's another what you just said right there at the end of the movie. When they drop the belladonna in, the English guy says more than three times, "We're fucked!
We're fucked!"
That shit made me laugh out loud. Yeah. That was hilarious.
That was the best thing.
It was so good.
And at the end, I was when they're going down that spiral staircase. Like I'm skipping right to the
fuck it.
When he's carrying the Ted Levine and the young 16-year-old are like finally escaping. And they're going underneath where the factory is.
Yeah,
and it's like endless gothic chasms. And I'm like, this is amazing looking.
Yeah,
and then like the flames shoot up and it looks totally like Poltergeist. I'm like, this is amazing looking. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh yeah, but the story is about a possessed sheet folder. This is the stupidest thing in the world. Like as much as you can do to make this interesting and stylish, epic.
It's pretty much a dryer.
Alyssa, my wife, she watched like a fair number of horror movies in the 90s just because her and her friends were young then, and that's, you know, but she's like, oh, The Mangler. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, fuck it. And she's like, oh, isn't there like some stop motion, like claymation machine thing going through here? It's not, but when it breaks loose, I mean, it's not, she was just saying it's not claymation, but it's like,
it certainly is that early CGI.
It's CGI, but she, you know, she like remembered only that because of how horrible it was. And that thing.
Oh, I saw it when it came out too, and it sucked shit then.
It
looked terrible.
It is the funniest thing.
I didn't even mind it that much. Like when the thing finally starts,
when it breaks apart,
first of all, it explodes.
Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk,
and then it starts coming down, and then it grows arms and legs and starts running after them.
Yeah.
This huge machine is running after these people downstairs.
Like a pretty tight stairwell,
but when
too.
When it finally comes around the corner and the guy's like, we're fucked! He said it so many times before he died. Before he was instantly ripped in half.
I like the short story, like, it was kind of trying to get loose and stuff.
And it kind of like rolled and like ka-chunk,
It wasn't like walking. You know, it wasn't, you know, it was trying to break out or whatever because they're throwing holy water on it. But this is like straight up like thing just like I'm leaving. It gets up and like
fuck this place. Fuck you.
It wasn't scary. It was just goofy.
Yeah, and just
the scariest thing was the photographer.
So bad.
And the photographer got real scary right when he ate it.
Oh,
barfing blood.
Oh yeah.
How did he eat it though? I forgot how he died.
Didn't the homie just go right down to his little apartment and
found all the clues.
And found like a stove still on and some shit, you know, like
there's like
he's gonna burn the place down.
Yeah. And I was like, so he was real.
Who would live down there?
He's not part of his imagination. He's a real person with an apartment.
Which is, that's incredible. I would have been better if that dude was just a part of his imagination.
He may have been. His name was JJJ Picture Man.
But he had an apartment.
Maybe that wasn't even.
There was a doctor there.
But I guess they both came.
And then the brother-in-law
maybe that
came
guy
down
was
with
a figment of his imagination too. That was like the weird hippie side of him, and he's got
maybe
the
this
weird
whole thing
picture man
in that dude's mind.
Probably. He's like some invalid in some hospital somewhere, just living this all in his brain.
That'll explain why all the streets are so narrow.
I'll explain why there's only eight people in the town.
Eight people in town, one-way streets everywhere.
They all got fed to the fucking... Well, I thought it was funny, at the end...
Incest.
He goes to like see the girl that he saved, you know, brings her flowers, but he parks There's like a whole parking lot and all this stuff, and he like jams up onto the sidewalk by the gate.
He drives erratically.
Just like, and I'm like, why would you park there? Like, you're not even in a parking spot. You're half on the sidewalk.
He drives really badly. He drives super fast and he with no regard for human life.
Right. Well, it doesn't matter. There's no one in that town. They're all been fucking eaten by the mangler. But then she throws him the fucking shocker wave.
Yeah. That's the thing, too.
Like, all right, that was when that happened. I just like could hear a toilet flush.
Yeah. Because she's like, what is it, 2 days later? And she's back. She's out there. She's the boss. She's yelling at everyone. She's
just,
bossing
everybody. Just like her uncle.
Just like her uncle. And. At the
she's
same,
like
and then she, and then she's first of all she's yelling at everybody like and you're like oh okay so now she's the boss I get it and then why would you wave you just told everyone to fuck off and keep working super hard and then she's like
waves
hi yeah. Hello I'm up here hi everybody
check out my shocker
check
finger.
Out my I'm missing a finger
unbelievable movie
dude the movie
so much going on
I recommend people see this movie. I watched it. I started it a second time.
So, have you guys seen the sequels or anything? Have you seen?
There's like two sequels at least.
Yeah, there's Mangler Reborn and there's something else.
Dude, yeah, there's a lot of Manglers.
But the funny thing is, I saw a photo from one of them and it looked like this little machine in like a basement. And I was like, oh, what? What is that? Like
baby this Mangler?
Gigantic.
It's a
machine.
Diaper folder. Yeah,
right. It's like a made out of Tinker Toys or something.
Oh, I'm possessed, but I'm meant to fold a diaper.
A diaper? What the – Mangler – what the fuck is it? The Mangler Reborn is 2005.
That hurts my feelings that there's more than one.
They made
this
more.
This one was so bad. I hope I never have to see it again. I hope I never have another podcast where I'm forced to watch this shit.
Dude, I am on the other side of the fence. I thought it was great. I thought it was so insane that it was great.
It was insane. Wow.
It's so stupid. It's so dumb. And then at the end, it is in absolute insanity. Like that dude, English guy, finally gets ripped in half after he screams, "We're fucked!" So
Which
many
is
times.
Awesome.
We're great, too. Great.
Dude,
scene.
I have. Oh yeah. Well, where's my phone? I had lines. I saved lines.
Okay.
There are lines that I could not believe.
Oh good.
So
when he was getting.
Dude, it's just Ted Levine's like,
oh god,
just words, and I was like, I had to stop. I'm like, okay, pause.
This movie is why I didn't watch horror movies in the '90s, like movies that are like this.
Yeah, this is the battle I've had, for years now, trying to convince people that there's good horror movies in the '90s because this is the kind of shit you think of.
Yeah,
dude, it got so crazy that I couldn't help but to love it. There was this when he finally confronts Robert Englund, and he's there on police business, by the way.
Yeah.
He says, "I'm going to shove those crutches up your moldy ass, you fucking clown."
I do remember that line. When he said fucking clown, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, that
was
awesome.
That's fucking
rad. And he got some other guy on the ground.
Ass.
And he shakes him and says, "You miserable piece of dog fuck, how dare you?" Language on this guy.
Amazing.
This was a rated R movie.
Bill. That's fine.
Yeah,
it's totally fine.
The entire movie, he sounded like, "I'd fuck me."
Right.
The whole movie.
That's how he said
everything he said.
I watched a movie with him recently called The Banshee Chapter. It's a horror movie. It's actually pretty fucking awesome. But he is Buffalo Bill in it.
He plays one guy.
He always sounds – and it was funny because I heard him before I saw him. And I was like, oh, fucking Buffalo Bill. You can't have that guy be anything more than – Buffalo Bill, or just this like side weird character that would be in and out real quick.
I was hearing him talk in this movie, like, so he didn't act at all in Silence of the Lambs. He's just himself.
No. His voice is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. You can't replicate
it. But he's not doing it. It's not natural either because his mouth is contorting every time he talks.
You think it's fake? You think he's like.
I think it's affected.
Like
in
a Gilbert Gottfried
kind of
way?
The same way that Christian Slater is affected.
Like a Bobcat Goldthwait?
Remind me a lot of Christian Slater. I'm not going to say Bobcat.
Well, Christian Slater is just trying to be Frack Jickelson, though.
Yes. And I think Buffalo Bill's also trying to be Frack Jickelson.
Huh.
These are names that don't even exist. These are characters.
Bobcat
Goldthwait, Frack Jickelson, Buffalo Bill. Speaking in fucking riddles.
If you just like take an expert from talking.
Yeah.
What the fuck are these guys talking about?
Bobcat Goldthwait's trying to be Frack Jickelson? No, dude. Buffalo Bill's trying to be Frack Jickelson. Christian Slater? Also a fake name, obviously. Oh, dude. This movie is so insane that I cannot help but recommend it.
There's a Mangler 2. Lance Hendrickson's in it, 2002, and then The Mangler Reborn, 2005.
But, you know, I looked
Reggie Bannister is in The Mangler Reborn.
Who is?
Reggie Bannister is in Mangler Reborn.
Oh, what?
Can we pull up a trailer?
Pull it up, man.
I need to see what...
Where are you going to go? Where can you go with this?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. That's what we're here to find out. We'll do some research here.
At the Scary Movie Research Center.
Okay. Yeah, we research scary movies, of course.
Here we go.
The Mangler.
There's some movie called...
Mangler 2 trailer.
Boo. Let's see. Alrighty.
R-rated trailer, huh? Dirty.
It is folding up, folks. Wait, what?
See, this is something different. I mean...
What? Is this the Reborn one?
Two.
Lance Hendrickson.
Brand new high-tech computer security system.
What about the security risk of me escaping from this prison?
The school is now equipped with an array of sensors and cameras.
It's all about Big Brother.
I'm so scared.
We all need a Big Brother's protection now and then.
Mangler virus. Oh, Mangler, you're my killer.
Oh, my God.
What's going on?
Come here.
Lay it on me.
It was like the beginning of cyber craziness.
No, it's a trap! Yeah.
Lawnmower Man style. You've been mangled. It's said on the screen.
What? It's some weird...
So
might have to see that.
So obviously Mangler 2 has nothing to do with Mangler 1.
Wait, Mangler 3 Reborn. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is going to be great, too.
This has to be better than
that
last
one. Wait,
what
year was Mangler 2?
2002.
Drive. Visitors are always welcome, but they never leave alive.
Don't leave me here.
We gotta help her.
How are we gonna explain how we found her? We broke into this house.
This is the Mangler?
3. Reborn.
You stabbing butts?
I think it was. Mom jeans style.
So much more butt to stab when you got mom jeans on. So tall. That tall butt.
Yeah, this is the one I saw. Is he the Mangler? There's some weird little machine he made. But it's like, it has all this random shit on it.
Don't drink the blood. This movie looks unpleasant, dude. Nice Comic Sans, dickheads.
None of these movies really have anything to do with each other. They all just look like random.
They have to do with possessed machines, sort of.
So I guess.
That fucking Mangler 2. Holy shit, dude. The internet.
I think I might need to watch that shit.
That's when they...
You've been mangled.
You've been mangled pops up on the computer screen. Thanks, dude. Thanks for telling me. If you have to tell me I got mangled, then I didn't get mangled.
Okay, we mangled your email account. Yeah. What the fuck? Lance Hendrickson did that? Damn, 2000.
He was hurt, I guess. Hurting.
Not so good. Yeah, that's not good.
Homie needs to eat.
What that remind me of? It reminded me of something where all the wires are jammed into him. There's something else.
Kind of reminded me of Superman 3 a little bit, and kind of reminded me of
a little Robocop, maybe
a little bit. Also reminded me of that Nightmare on Elm Street 5 when the dude becomes that motorcycle.
There you go.
That was it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all these movies that are way better.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Ooh, maybe we don't watch the Mangler sequels.
I don't know. Josh, you loved them so much. Maybe keep rolling on.
I don't think they kept it in the true spirit of how stupid the first
one
was.
How are you going to go from that giant folding machine to the internet? What?
Yeah. Good luck mangling me, internet.
I'm not scared of the internet. I'm scared of a giant fucking crazy contraption that's going to fold my arm up.
Yeah. And then that's not that scary.
Oh, can we go back to a scene from...
Oh, please, yeah.
The original, the OG Mangler.
The good Mangler?
Where the dude, the fucking foreman gets his fucking arm caught in there.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's with the other dude and he's just like, just fucking cut it off.
Oh, yeah, right.
He's like screaming and the dude has to fucking cut his arm off.
Dude, that guy's sitting there with his arm in the machine getting just chewed up and he's like,
I can't do it.
Do it. It just says do it like 100 times. It's like Henry Rollins. like Rollins Band. But the guy's like, I can't do it. He chicken shits out like four times before he actually finally does it.
Yeah, like the guy's arm was getting chewed up more and more the longer he took.
And
like,
that guy dies anyway.
Yeah. Like you could he could have just like lost a wrist.
Yeah.
That guy fucking.
Like, I can't. He waited until it was pretty much out of his shoulder.
Yeah, it was straight up shoulder.
I thought he was going to cut his head off.
Yeah. I thought he was just going to like use the edge of his foot, just tap him all the way in. Just
I can't take the axe. Pokes at him. Get in there.
Oh, God damn. And when fucking Ted Levine's like, he knows that thing's turning on by itself, eating people, all this shit. And he just rolls up and leans against it with his back to the thing with his fucking his jacket.
I can't believe we haven't talked about that.
That is amazing. I'm glad we're talking about this because he's got the longest detective trench coat on. And it gets caught in at the tail end, 6 feet away from his head. It gets caught in.
Yeah. Right.
And he's got his back to it. Dude, I can hardly – if I had a – I used to have a coat like that because I was a teenager in the 80s and 90s. So when I jump – seriously, that coat wouldn't barely stay on. If a fucking dog bit it, it would fly off me backwards.
Right. Just go like this.
You just turn around.
You just put your arms out straight and walk forward.
Yeah. Dude, he makes it seem like.
Instead, he wrestles with it for 5 minutes.
It pulls his gun out and shoots it off.
Shoots his jacket. He unloads his gun into his own jacket.
That was
And if I'm not mistaken, continues to wear the jacket?
He does. Yeah, he does continue.
He does. Fuck it. He still has a plenty more jacket left.
The jacket was still long as
7.5 feet of jacket left.
Yeah, he shot the jacket off. That was insane because he shot the jacket so many times and he had to rip the jacket out.
Because he was like click click click.
That's not a good jacket, bro. Just let it go.
Yeah, it's not turn that around good a jacket.
Let it go.
And okay, how did that long ass jacket even get in there?
Like I don't understand how people just got like how there was a woman in this whole movie who's like the evil woman. She's Robert Englund's niece, but they're banging somehow.
I don't think it's his niece. That one. She's just like a rando chick, right?
Is she not? Found. I thought they were related.
I don't know. It was.
I was kind of cloudy.
It was very cloudy. Yeah.
But anyway, he took her pinky finger, and then she was like, whatever.
She took a pinky finger, and then she was like Cruella De Vil. Big hair, leather. She got dressed in all leather. Yeah. She was like his counterpart. And there's a scene where she's like down by the mangler after all this shit happened, and all of a sudden the lights go out, and next thing you know, her arm's in the fucking thing, and she's going through it.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I stopped. I'm like, what did I miss?
Didn't the dude hit her, though, in it? I thought the guy, pushed her in it.
She just goes in it.
Really?
Yeah,
everyone's
just leaning against it.
And
at the mouth for some reason.
It's like, there's this machine that's been fucking chewing up folks. Notorious. I'm going to lean on this thing for a little bit here.
Hasn't yet killed a man, only killing women.
Sexist machinery. Yeah.
Sexism in the workplace. There you go. There it goes again.
That's the underlying current of this movie.
Oh. Dangler.
The thing about this movie that's great, and there is a couple things, is that we haven't even touched on so many of the crazy things that happened in it.
We haven't?
No, there's so many more crazy things.
This movie is not short on eye candy.
It's not short in any way. It's lengthy.
Yeah, like his coat.
This movie is so gory. When people are getting their arms chopped up, it's like it shows you everything. I was ready to barf a couple times.
There's some pretty graphic.
When it folded the woman.
You make it sound so good.
Dude.
No, when that scene.
I think it might be good. I'm sorry.
When they first show the chick, the old lady folded up, and there's just a quick flash, and you see it.
Yeah, but that's another thing, too. Like, it cuts to the thing, and you're like, okay, we've cut away. Are we dreaming? And he's like leaning with his brother-in-law on the bridge, just kind of talking about.
They folded her like a sheet.
Like, dude, we know. And then he's talking, and then he like shows the flashes. It's just like so many flashes of folding on the gross pile of meat.
Yeah.
So many of those. And then he's like, oh, God, I can't take it. And it cuts back. He's still there on the bridge.
Yeah.
Like, he's just having – let's cut a little bit and go into your mind and just show horrible shit. And then he's like, oh, fuck. And he curses so much, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he has to cuss. That guy – like, that voice is
– Yeah, he's tormented. He's a tormented guy.
See, I like the idea of it all being in his head way more. Like, you guys saying that part of it, like, the photographer, whatever, like, that makes – tons more sense.
The photographer would have made way more sense if it was only in his head because
I wanted to see the connection they had.
He existed in no real space and time.
Right?
Flash bulbs going off.
He just like you said, just like appear.
No one else seemed to interact with him either.
Yeah, when he popped up in the morgue. Yeah. By the way, back to the mortician, please. The mortician had only a few lines, and he's talking to the dead kid out of the refrigerator.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, hey, it's getting late. I'll deal with you in the morning. And then the guy comes in. He's like, oh, I've been waiting for you. You're here to see the old lady. And he is just like this nerdy guy, young guy in a trench coat, covered in blood, like blood yeah. everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's like, oh, you want to see what I did? And he pulls the thing back to see the old woman. She was chewed to nothing. He's like, it's pretty impressive considering the materials I had to work with.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? And he leans in. He goes, you guys want to know a secret? I stuffed her body with – I don't want to know. He's like, oh, okay. I understand. And he goes, you know what? I'm going to come back for her in the morning. From now until then, she's all yours. And he walks away. He goes, cherry tomato? No, thanks. And he pops one in his mouth.
Bloody
and he
hands.
Walks away. Dude, that – performance. I've watched it 3 times in a row. It is genius. And the actor, I need to find out who that guy was.
But like, okay, that guy was awesome. I totally agree with you. But who leaves a dude alone with two dead bodies, whether it be a cop or not,
right,
for the rest of the night?
Yeah, she's all yours.
Do what you want. Do what you want. I am looking.
I fixed her up for you. And then
then if it cuts to the old woman, it is so grotesque.
It is rugged.
It is like
slightly less rugged than when she was chewed up, but
oh god,
yeah. How would you put that back together when you just have like a skin sheet,
a pile of meat
folded?
There's the scene before the photographer takes his photo, but he's sitting in between the two bodies, just hanging out. So I think he's smoking a cigarette, Buffalo Bill.
And then the photographer shows up. He's like, "Hey, what's up?" Starts popping off photographs of the dead people. And he's like,
"He's just
whatever.
Hanging out with these corpses."
Yeah,
That is like you're setting up somebody to straight have sexual relations with the corpse.
Yeah. Like, that's just business as usual there, apparently.
It must be in that town.
That this movie's insane.
So why there's literally
it's a
so
pretty beautiful like
much.
Wherever that is that supposed to be a hospital, cuz it's a nice long hallway they go through and it's like some pillars on the side, you know. It's like
the scenery,
gorgeous
like,
looking hallway,
especially like at the end with that spiral staircase that goes down forever. The mangler chasing him down, like that's amazing looking.
Well, because you're like, what the fuck is this? How ancient is this mangler? You know, is it fucking like medieval?
It made
shit?
No
like,
sense.
What?
Like, no, at the end, you're like, this makes no sense. This is like endless spiral staircases to hell.
Yeah.
Like maybe that's what it was.
And
I don't understand. But at that time, I was looking at it going like, this is pretty amazing. This is Toby Hooper. He's doing some spectacular shit. And then when those like flames were coming because the mangler was up on top dropping fucking chains down.
Oh, right.
But then he shot all those flames down and they sucked back up. I was like, this is pretty like poltergeisty shit. He's holding a girl and there's fucking flames and shit.
Well, I like that then when he does go back to the factory, the machine's back to where it was. Nothing's broken.
Yeah.
Nothing's fine. Because that thing like exploded out of there.
Exploded and then folded and then chased.
Ran. Yeah.
Ran away from where it started. Yeah.
This is the reason why I didn't watch movies in the 90s, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but
this movie might have sucked, but I might have loved it.
You did watch it one and a half times.
Yeah. The only reason I didn't watch it 2 times is because I was like, I got to do something else. I got to work. I got to do more stuff in my day. I can't watch this movie again. I might go home and watch it right now.
I might watch that scene again, the mortuary scene, but I don't think I ever want to see it again.
I love that scene where the photographer's flashbulb just lights up that fucking bloody mashed up mess of that old lady.
Right.
I posted a photo.
There's like some scenes that are good to watch. Quick little scenes.
Because her
little
face
snippets.
Was on it.
Yeah. It's fucked up. I posted it on Instagram.
It's horrible.
It's so bad. I was like, this might get taken down on
totally.
Instagram.
It's totally gross. This whole movie's so gross.
Dude, I want to get a clip of the first time that dude says we're fucked. It was so funny. The build up to it is so good. And then he's like,
we're fucked.
It's so funny.
It was really good. I went to a remix. Just, we're fucked. But didn't he say Belladonna? Did he say, I think we're fucked?
We might be fucked.
We might be fucked. And then we're fucked. It's so good. It's so funny. I might even insert that clip.
You're almost turning me around. If I hadn't seen it, I would be convinced that this movie is great.
You're sold. I'm buying a copy tomorrow.
It was so dumb. I'm telling you, I know it was dumb. And
watching it through Josh's eyes,
from the
get-go, I love it. I love it.
Something about it, something in the middle turned me around. I was like, more things have happened in this movie than happened like in the first half than happened in all of Graveyard Shift. So I was like already back. I'm like, it's also not totally ugly. Like Graveyard Shift is an ugly looking
movie. Yeah, there's definitely some good stuff.
Like there's great scenes in this movie.
You didn't know anything about this movie other than reading the story from the book, right?
No,
like,
I knew the story.
You never saw Robert Englund, an image of him.
I didn't know. I was like, where is there some old ghoul in this? I have no idea. And because his picture on the cover is like his face looking really ghoulish.
He looks very Phantom of the Opera because he did that too.
That's right.
And they're very similar looking too.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what this movie was going to be about. I knew it was kind of true to the. To the laundry theme, which is so stupid. Yeah. Like, it's so dumb from the get-go. But then at a certain point, it was like halfway or a little over halfway in the movie, I'm like, okay, I'm on it. I'm back.
On board.
I love the way this movie looks. I love that his dialogue is so stupid and insane the whole time. That whole thing where he's like, have you considered maybe demonic possession? He's like, he says this, and I remembered. He said, man, there's God, and then there's country, and then there's the law. Everything else is bullshit. And then that was like the first part. Then he goes, holds up his book. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. This is bullshit. The real world, bullshit. This is bullshit. And he looks at him one more time and goes, this is bullshit. Like, dude, leave the poor guy alone.
You just got paid today saying bullshit.
Yeah. That was a whole day.
Hours. Oh, my God.
This movie's insane.
But I love that dude, his brother-in-law, comes out of the gates with that thing's haunted. There was no other explanation.
There was
Virgin blood's haunted.
Haunted. Were they bloods of virgins? Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's haunted. Have you considered it being haunted?
Like, same thing happened to the one I worked at.
Want more steak? Would you like another fucking 5-inch steak?
Yeah, it's haunted. That meat's haunted. That's demon meat.
Well, that's another thing. Like, if it's a demon or it's something possessing this thing, couldn't it just, like, possess something way cooler than a mangler?
Well.
Yeah.
It's
like a sexy car.
Hey, I like where you're going with this.
Maybe the internet, maybe?
Car? Red car?
I like it.
I don't know, man. The whole idea of demonic possession is so stupid to begin with. Whether it's in a person.
It's idiotic.
But then, like, you're in a machine, and then.
I just think it's so weird to me that, like, the demonic possession of like a machinery or a thing, an inanimate object or something that's obviously doesn't have any kind of
because Graveyard Shift starts that way too. Like you expect because people get stuck in that thing all the time.
Sure,
like, that's how it worked, right? Didn't a guy get in it? Didn't a guy?
Yeah,
fall? Like
he got pushed in it by that fucking
by the bat rat.
Which is funny because you think the bat rat would just eat him, but the bat rat pushed him in.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, teehee,
and then all the little mice ate him afterwards. That's how it worked. He was feeding the bat rat was feeding all the little minions.
I just don't understand the idea of like writing the ghost in the machine type of stuff. It seems really dumb to me.
Well, it just gets dumber over time. Like in the 70s, maybe it was kind of cool. And it was a short story once again. The Mangler is a story that I don't necessarily mind. It's a fine story.
Maybe it'd be scary if I had any experience whatsoever with a machine like that. But
I think he might have worked in the laundry.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yes, he yes. Stephen King. Absolutely has. That's why those two movies, those two stories have a similar premise.
Obsessed with machinery and factories and sweat.
Yeah, well, he used to work in places like that. Yeah. If you read his book On Writing, he talks about that quite a bit.
Yeah, we saw that book, too. There's a whole interview book with Stephen King that's kind of rad. Oh, awesome. Different interviews and stuff.
Yeah, it's like go with what you know. And these are his earliest stories.
You write scary shit about stuff you're scared of. So that's what you do. But I don't know. It's just funny to me imagining ghost machinery. But I like Christine's like one of my favorite things, but it's so much more stylish.
Yeah. He kept trying. He finally got it right.
I mean, in the movie, it just seems like it's just the machine, the car itself that is doing its own thing, where in the story, it's like a ghost.
Yeah. It's funny with the Mangler and the story of the Mangler, like the whole thing of like the contracts and the selling our soul and stuff like that.
When a woman turns 16, the blood of a virgin, all these things.
I don't know why they thought that would make a better movie. Like, I like the mysterious short story better. Like, this fucking thing happens and this is happening.
You know what the best thing about the Mangler is? Just the title.
Oh,
calling a machine the Mangler is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Better. Like, cause especially you know that because shit's going down.
It's because you got mangled in it.
Yeah. Well, we used to call, like, really fucked up, like dangerous skate ramps, like Widowmakers, you know?
Yeah.
Because you knew you were going to die. And I love that, like that you could call something that's totally inanimate that's going to be this fucking terrorizer.
Oh, all right, buddies.
Thank you guys for listening. We're going to go to bed because it's fucking real late.
Yes. Holy shit, it is really late.
Oh, shit.
1:30 a.m.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, thank you for listening. ForeverMidnight.net is how to get our stuff.
Please, great. Subscribe and give us a little rate and review on iTunes.
Yes. A review would be awesome. Please. Check out our sponsors, please. GoreNoirMagazine.BigCartel.com and PunkStuff.com. And we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Boosh.
Forever Midnight is recorded at the Scary Movie Research Center in Santa Rosa. The music was written by Josh Staples, recorded by Paul Hale, and performed by Linda Amari, Elliot Whitehurst, Paul Hale, and Josh Staples. For more information, visit forevermidnight.net.